Welcome to Higher Ground Ministries, where we believe God's Word still speaks today. Our mission is to teach the truth of God's Word from generation to generation, building up believers and reaching hearts with the hope of Christ. Each week, we share messages from our church services, praying they strengthen your faith and encourage your heart. Join us in person or online Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit hgministries.org.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Open up your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10, if you've been with us, this is a continuation of the series that we've been on, but I believe it's the direction we're going to go today is going to help us because of the events that are taking place across this planet. We're talking about, and we've been talking about the last couple of services, about the anointing. We need the anointing of God. Amen. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day." And I've been saying it every time we look at this verse. Well, what's that day? Today. But more so, it's the day that you realize. I hope today is that day for you, if you haven't yet. But it's that day that you realize you can't do this without God. Everything we've been saying, everything we've been praying, everything that we've, you know, I've kind of ministered a little bit already, we can't do any of it without God. You can try to do, and you can try to be, and you can try, and all I'm going to say is good luck. But sooner or later, you're going to fall flat on your face. Now, I'm not saying that you can't be victorious in the day, and you can't have a good career, good job, and education, all that stuff, and that you can only do that with God. No, humans have the means to be able to do some things. Sure. But you ain't getting to heaven without God. And I know that's bad English. You're not getting to heaven without God. Your sins cannot be washed white as snow without God. You're not going to have spiritual discernment or direction in these last days without God. So I've just determined it within my own life, my own walk in, for my own family, that we're just going to do this with God. Why frustrate ourselves any more than we have to? There's enough irritation and aggravation on this planet without trying to do this without God. Amen. So in that day, it shall come to pass. Or maybe we could say it this way without violating the scriptures. In that day, watch what God starts doing. In that day, that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulders, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Because of the anointing. The anointing lifts burdens and destroys yokes. Galatians chapter 5 verse 1 tells us not to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Galatians chapter 5 is a whole chapter dealing with the Holy Spirit. You and I are walk with the Holy Spirit and guarding our walk, guarding our lives, guarding our minds, because there are things on this planet, there's humans on this planet, but more so, there's an enemy on this planet who hates you. He hates you because you get to walk with God and he can't. There's no redemption for Satan, but there's redemption for mankind. Oh, he's ticked off about it. So he'll do everything he can to get to you, aggravate you, irritate you, to try to bring you back to who you once were, to try to get you out of that place with God, out of that fellowship with God, to get you out from under the anointing of God, because it's with the anointing. It lifts every burden, destroys every yoke. Well, what are some of those yokes? Well, I don't know. Everybody's got their own deal in here. The yoke of alcohol. The yoke of drugs. The yoke of pornography. The yoke of slander. The yoke of lying. The yoke of gossip. Because as we look at all these things through the scripture, they bring you to a place you don't want to go. They all have the same effect. They'll hurt your walk, destroy your walk, and eventually, if you keep on those courses, they could actually drag you to hell. I had one person say this to me, you know, not too long ago. It's like, well, will smoking send you to hell? Well, no, but it could. Well, how can you say that? Well, because if God says, listen, we need to get rid of that, and you say no to him, who's God there? You or him? I'll get off of that really quick. I'm not picking on. And I'm going to quote my pastor, Dr. Barclay. He says this all the time. God knows the difference between you chasing sin and sin chasing you. You trust God, you believe God, and you keep fighting through that thing. You keep believing that he's going to deliver you from that thing, and don't you ever quit. God knows the difference, and he will bring you to that victory. Amen? But it's going to take the anointing to destroy that yoke of bondage. Amen? But we need his anointing, because Satan, again, he's doing everything he can to get you out from under the anointing. See, I could preach a great service this morning. I can bring you great strength and encouragement by my words. I don't think I'm that good of a speaker. But I think maybe I could, if you're all sleeping and not paying attention. I know I'm not that great of a speaker, and I'm okay with that. I'm not belittling myself, and I'm not insulting myself, because I don't do this on my good speech. I do this by the anointing of God. That when I'm preaching and teaching, it's not my words, it's God's words that are going forth. It's the anointing attached to the words of God that are going to change your life, not the words of John Kamensky. Amen? We need the anointing on everything that we do. Even coming to church, you need God's anointing. During the worship, you need God's anointing on it. Because without God's anointing, it's just music. There's nothing wrong with music. Music can bring you up, bring you down, tear you apart, build you up. I mean, music does a whole bunch of things, right? But we need anointing on God, on the music we play in here. We need anointing on our worship. Because without the anointing, what makes it any different than the AC/DC concert some of you guys went to back in the day? Miss Marona has no idea what I'm talking about. But some of you do. No, what makes it any different? Nothing. Oh, because we have a couple of words that talk about our God? No. Without the anointing, we need the anointing. The anointing brings us into his presence. The anointing begins to minister to us. The anointing begins to help us. The anointing begins to deal with us. Amen? You do realize that Satan knows this Bible better than you do? He can quote this Bible better than you can. He knows every refrigerator verse you have on your refrigerator. And even those ones that you got kind of archived back in your brain, like, oh, every once in a while I pull this one out because it's my favorite. Oh, he can quote it better than you can. But there's a difference between him and you. With the anointing of God, you have revelation on that word. To him, they're just words. He does understand there's power in those words, which is why he's trying to do everything he can to keep you out of the anointing. He doesn't mind if you quote it, but he hates when you start walking under the anointing that brings the life and the truth and the power that those words bring. Amen. So we're doing everything we can, and this is what we've been talking about these last couple of services, is protecting the anointing. Right now, everything that's going on in this planet, we got to protect the anointing. Because if you're not careful, church, believers, body of Christ, we're not exempt from this. If we're not careful, we can allow Satan, world, people, to start draining the anointing on our lives. And when the anointing goes, guess what else goes? Peace. Joy, strength, direction, discernment. Oh, my Lord, I want to preach on discernment right now, but we don't have time for that. All I'll say is you don't even know what to trust anymore. You get a phone call, you don't know if it's a real human or not. You get an email, you don't know if a human sent that or a computer did. I mean, on every given day, I mean, I get 15 different phone calls that my loans have been approved. I'm a millionaire at this point. A couple service ago, you know, Justin, he works for, you know, Tesla. And, of course, Elon Musk, he's big, not knocking the guy. I mean, the guy's brilliant. The stuff that he comes up with and just amazing. He's not the only one, but he's got an app out there right now. All you got to do is put a photo, take a picture of the photo, tell it what you want, and it'll turn it into a movie that you can hardly tell. That computer program, AI, just took your photo and brought life to it. I'll be dealing with that in the next couple of services. We need God's discernment today to know what's real and what's not. But again, we can't do this without God's anointing, because it's his anointing that deals with us. On Tuesday night, I dealt with this a little bit. The anointing, it comes by in our lives by the Holy Spirit. Amen? In fact, let's go to Acts chapter 1 right now. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 4, it says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father." Now it's talking about Jesus. This is after his death, burial, and resurrection. This is right before he ascends into heaven. And he says to them, he says to his disciples. Now he walked with his disciples. He ministered with and to his disciples. He anointed and appointed his disciples. He sent them out, not just these here, but he sent out multitudes. At one point, he sends out 70 of them. We have no idea who they are. But he sends 70 about. He deputized them with his anointing and said, go, and gave some instruction. And, of course, they all came back. That's a miracle all by itself, that they didn't just start all their own ministries. Oh, we're the big shots now. We're anointed and appointed by God. We can just go and do. They actually came back. But they came back, and, man, they're celebrating. And rightfully so. When you see God move, when God tells you to lay hands on and the sick are healed, when God tells you to cast out demons and demons have to go, this is what I was exhorting a few moments ago. Come on, we get excited. You should be, because you just witnessed God show up. He showed up in your life. You didn't do it. He did it. But you're the vessel that he used, right? That's why even Timothy says, in the house of God, there are houses of, there's vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. You want to get the anointing flowing in your life? You better learn how to live in a place of honor. This is why I spent a few moments on showing up in church is another way to honor God. Walking with God each and every day honors him. Living in your Bible honors him. Living in your prayer closet honors him. Standing for holy, righteous things honors him. This doesn't fit 2026, but I'm going to say it anyways. Understanding, defining, and standing against sin honors him. Because I know today we got a lovey-dovey God. We're supposed to hold hands, sit around the campfire, and all sing kumbaya. Because Jesus died so you can live like a pig and live in the pig pen. That's not what the Bible tells us. Now, God did say there will be those that you'll clean up the pig. God called them pigs. I didn't. You'll clean up the pig, get them all shiny, put the ribbon on them. You turn your back, and where are they? Back in the muck and the mire. All the humans have always been humans. They'll always go back, and people will chase back after. Jesus also said about the dog. My stinking stupid dog did it yesterday. You know, whenever my wife and I, one of us goes or leaves, and the dog knows. When he sees suitcases, he knows. And he goes into this weird little depressed state. Our dog is weird. Let me rephrase that. My wife's dog is weird. But, you know, after a couple of days, he comes back to himself and goes, oh, wait a minute, I got to eat. And he overeats. And then you know what happens when you overeat. And that's what dogs do. But if you're not quick and you don't clean that up, what do? They'll clean it up for you. And sometimes repeat the whole cycle all over again. I should have saved that for the end of service. Because that would have bought me a few more moments. Because nobody would want to eat lunch after that. But God isn't talking about just a dog. He's talking about believers, Christians, that when we expel all the world from us, we get that stuff out of us. It's not just on us. It's out from within us. But he says about the dog, the dog just sits there and whimpers and whines and wants to go back until it laps it all up and goes back to the world. See, we need the anointing to break that. We need the anointing to keep us out of that. Amen. And it's only by the anointing of God that we can do that. But God said to go. Jesus said, go wait for the promise. Go wait for the promise. The promise of what? The Holy Spirit. Because with the Holy Spirit comes the anointing of God. With the Holy Spirit comes the presence of God. Right? Jesus, when he sent the disciples out, he was on the earth. He was with them. But that's also why he said, listen, it's better that I should go. Because as long as I'm here, I can only get to some of you. But once I go, I'll send another. And when he comes, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, oh, he'll anoint you. In fact, that's what it says. He goes, verse 4 again, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart. Say not depart.
Not depart.
Now, in their case, they went to the upper room. They went to Jerusalem. They went to their that place of prayer and assembly. You know where that place is today? The church that God has planted you in. God is saying, go and don't depart. Now, for you and I, that's not just once and done. That's every week, man. Ma'am, we want to make sure we get both in there. Don't want to insult. No, that means go to the place that God has called you and don't depart from it. Because there are things in this life that will not only try to rob your anointing, but there are things that happen each and every day that will drain your anointing. That you need a fresh dose of the anointing every time you come in here. That when you come in here, just like you go to the gas station, I hope, that you go to the gas station on purpose. Don't raise your hand if you've done this, please. But I doubt very much any of you have taken your vehicle, the tank is full of gas, you pulled up in front of the pump and said, I'm here. Well, what do you need? Nothing. Then why are you there? But that's how some people treat our God. Or even worse, they show up and the tank is empty. Why are you here? I need gas. You want us to pump it? No. I just want to sit here and whine. I want to sit here until God does it for me. I want to sit here until God makes it happen for me. Just don't say, gas, fill. No, you have to get out of your vehicle. I know this is deep. If you came here for a really deep message, you came to the wrong church. No, you have to get out of your vehicle, but you had the purpose to go in the first place. You know, my town, we got Cumberland Farms. I seem to stop there quite often. You know, Cumbies never comes to my house. For those that are streaming with us, Cumbies is our little store. That's our nickname for it. Cumbies has never shown up in my house to put gas in my vehicle. I'm kind of ticked off about it. Because they know I need gas. I show up a couple times a week, so they know I need it. I was a little bit freaked. I love technology, but I was a little freaked out Friday. Not being kind of funny, but at the same time, like, I didn't say my name. I had to call the, you know, dealership and maintenance on Kate's vehicle, and, you know, just oil change done, whatever. I call, and I'm waiting for the, hey, this is John Kaminsky, I need, and it's like, oh, okay, so this is on your Bronco, you need this done right now, and I'm like, I don't think I said my name. I don't remember saying my vehicle. Then even worse, when I got there, she said, oh, okay, I can see you just filled up your tank with gas, so you're all set there. I'm like, lady, you're starting to freak me out. So I'm pretty sure Cummings knows when I need gas. Like, oh yeah, he's fighting right now. Oh, he's pushing it to the limit. Oh, he's going to be like his father-in-law. See how far that reserve really is. I did have to bring him gas a time or two. No, Cummings never shows up. I have to go there. But just because I pull up to the pump doesn't mean gas starts filling. I have to get out of the vehicle. I have to go to the pump. I have to put something in. I'm talking about everything that we do here. My father-in-law used to say, some people sit like a bump on a log. So you can sit there and do nothing. Don't expect anything to happen. I mean, the excitement in here might get you kind of going, a little motivated, but you'll leave here the same way that you came in. But once you start to engage with the anointing, once you start to draw from the anointing, once you start to draw from the presence of God. You know, I had one guy years ago, he's like, you know, he goes, yeah, I know it's worship time, but I don't open my mouth. I don't lift my hands. Well, I understand why you're the way you are. I am fully aware that I don't have a good singing voice. But I can make a joyful noise. And my arms aren't broken. I can lift my hands, because the Bible tells us to lift holy hands. He didn't say perfect hands, holy hands. Thank God he's made my hands holy, because I'm not perfect. But I can lift my hands in worship, in honor to my God during times of worship. honoring God. See, these are ways that you can draw from the anointing in here. When the preacher says, open your Bibles. You know what helps? If you bring a Bible. We didn't even get to opening yet. Just bring one. And listen, I'm not picking on. I wouldn't trust these for your Bibles. 15 years ago, I had this in one of my Bible apps. It did away with Galatians chapter 5 altogether. Now, that could have been a computer glitch issue, problem, some update, but you can't really trust these. You know what doesn't change on you while you're sitting here? You know what doesn't ping and bing and pop and make other weird noises while you're sitting in here? This doesn't. This doesn't change. You can take this with you when you go home and not worry about it when you put it on your counter that the words are going to change by tomorrow morning. This ain't going anywhere. It's not changing. Amen. And if the power goes out, sometimes I pray for that. And you can't charge these stupid things. You don't need to charge this up. It's already charged for you. So being assembled together, he commanded them that they should not depart where he purposes. He knows who you need for a pastor. He knew who I was going to need for a pastor. He sent me, Vietnam combat veteran, Marine drill sergeant, because he knew that's what I would need. And I'm grateful for it. I don't want some stinking tea-sipping, Pee-wee Herman, pansy, who can't find his way out of a paper bag spiritually with both ends open. I need somebody who's lived this, walked this, and knows what the Bible says. And is not afraid to me to say, knock it off, you're wrong. Amen? So God knows what he's doing. He knows where you're going to be able to draw the anointing from. And once Satan figures that out, you better dig your heels in. Because he'll do everything he can to try to get you from drawing from that anointing. So again, be assembled. Being assembled together, he commanded. Everybody say commanded. Amen. It's not a suggestion. I have studied this Bible cover to cover, and you know what I have not found? I have not found one suggestion from God. But I found a whole bunch of commandments. You know what? I also haven't found the way, you know, the modern people will twist it. I haven't found any threats in here either. But I found a whole lot of promises. If you do, this will happen. If you don't, this will happen. That's not a threat. That's a promise. So I'm just going to stick with the book. Being commanded. Do not depart. Don't depart. Say it, don't depart. And of course, in this setting, from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall. But you're going to have to dig in, because not everybody who showed up stayed. Not everybody who showed up stayed and got what God said, wait. But you need this power, you need this anointing to be able to conquer. In their case, to be able to live and walk and do what Jesus said they were going to do. When Jesus was with them, he was able to anoint them because he was with them side by side. They were able to go up, but they came back to him, and he sent them out again. You and I, Jesus is seated at his throne right now. But I think he's getting ready to stand up with everything that's going on. Amen? And he's getting ready to stand up and come back for his church. But he had this weird question to his disciples. Some of you know it. He says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find any faith? When the Son of Man returns, will he find any faith? Now, he wasn't saying, okay, are people going to just believe? Are they going to still believe the words? Are they still going to trust it? They're going to still, you know, speak it. They're going to still quote it. They're still going to have verses on their refrigerators. Yes, I know there were no refrigerators when he said it. He wasn't just talking about you knowing a verse or two or believing a verse or two. When he said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find any faith? What he was saying is, will I find anybody who's still faithful to me? Will I find anybody who's still serving me with the same passion, excitement, and zeal when they first met me? In fact, let's go to 1 Thessalonians right now. 1 Thessalonians. Verse 13 of chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking by the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit you and I need today, the same anointing that we need today because it's God's anointing. This wasn't Paul's anointing. This was the anointing of God on Paul to speak to that day, but he's also speaking to us today. He says, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren. So that means the church. That's not talking to the world. That's talking to us, just like it was talking to the church in this day. I would not have you ignorant. Ignorant simply means unknown, unknowing, unaware, uneducated. But I'm also going to add deceived. I don't want you deceived. Now, what do you mean by deceived? Thank you, Angel, for asking that. Because we're living in a day, and this has always been, Paul dealt with it in his day, Jesus dealt with it in his day, you know, it's nothing new. But we'll preach the Word of God, we'll teach the Word of God, and then somebody else will come around and say, it's not for today. It doesn't work today. And if you don't know what this says, and you trust the individual, then you're not being seduced here, you're just deceived, because you trust what they're saying. So you take them at their word and you think, okay, well, they've got to be experts because I've never opened up the Bible before. I've never been to church before. And they said this, so I trust them. You could just be deceived. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, that's King James. Now, asleep doesn't mean slumbering like some of you do in my church services. No, that means dead. You expired. You're in the grave. And he said, I would not have you ignorant concerning them which are asleep, which those who have gone on before us, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Okay, so we know this in here, and you know, you live this life, there's a couple things that happen in this life. If you're born here, you're alive. Someday, you'll expire. We live here long enough. We walk this long enough. You're going to have loved ones, friends, family members in your life that their time's done. They can't stay on this planet any longer. Now, the hope that we have that the world doesn't have is we know where they are if they met Jesus Christ. So we know it's not the end. We have hope, trust, faith in our God. We're going to be reunited with them again. And this time when we're reunited, no more sickness, no more disease, no more issues, no more problems, no more tragedies, no more calamities. That when we're with them, it's going to be paradise. Because we're going to be with our God where there is no sin, there is no sickness, there is no disease, there is no fear, there is no worry. We have hope because we're going to a better place, a far much better place. But those who don't know, and they're like, well, I hope there is, I believe, maybe, and their hope is crossing their fingers. Our hope is this great, excited expectation that God is going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. So if he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, remember he said that to the disciples? I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming back for you to bring you to the place I've prepared for you. So if he said it, then my expectation that God's going to honor his word. And those who have gone on before that know him, walked with him, they're with him right now. And very shortly, I'm going to be reunited with them. So I've got hope because I know I'm going to see them again. 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with. When Jesus comes back for his church, there'll be two different events, if we could say it this way. There'll be the final appearing, which is what we're talking about right here, and then there'll be the second coming. The final appearing is when Jesus appears like these verses deal with. The second coming is when he comes to this earth and he deals with the Antichrist, the Antichrist governments, the Antichrist system, the false prophet, the beast, those who took the mark of the beast. We've been studying that in the book of Revelation. We want to go out on the first trip. So I don't know about you, but I'm believing for this right here. And he said that not only do I have them, but when I come back for you, I'm bringing them with me to get you, to receive you. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, say alive.
Alive.
Are you alive in here?
Yes.
If you're not sure, if you're breathing, you're alive. Those which are alive. See, the modern church says this is where it ends. But then it says, alive and remain of Christianity. Going right back to that question Jesus asked. When I come back, right here, this is what he's talking about. When I come back, will I find believers who are just living? Or are they living and remaining? Are they still active in their Christian walk? Are they still active in their Christian faith? Are they still studying to show themselves approved? Are they still doing what I've told them to do? Are they still loving, forgiving, preaching, laying hands on? Are they doing what we've been commissioned to do by Jesus Christ? Or are we going to have a bunch of people who put it all in the preacher? You live this. I don't have to live this. You're supposed to live this because you're the pastor. The church pays you. Let me help you sometimes. Because that usually follows, we're in it for the money. Idiot. I made far more money turning wrenches. This isn't about money. This is about souls. You're supposed to live this because you're supposed to bring us a good word. But we don't have to live this. We just show up. That's not what Jesus said. He said, those which are alive. This isn't talking about what we call the fivefold ministry. This is every believer. Those that are alive. Are you breathing? You're alive. The question is, and only you and God can answer this, are you remaining? Now, as your pastor, if I'm your pastor, I can gauge some things. I can judge some things. Not condemn, but I can judge some things spiritually. Who's actually remaining and who's not? This is why I'm preaching this morning. Because with the events that are going on right now on this planet, if the rapture were to happen today, I'm not so sure all of you would go. I love all of you, but I'm not so sure all of you would go. Because some of you are not remaining. You're living, you're breathing. Not picking, not judging. I'm not pointing fingers at. I'm pretty much scanning this front row right here. So I'm not really looking beyond the front row. But this is why these verses are so important to us. Because Jesus asked the question to his disciples before he left. When I come back, will I find? Then he says, through the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, we which are alive and remain. So that's talking about you and me in Jesus' name. Unto the coming of the Lord. Matthew 24 is my go-to. You guys know this. Go-to for the last days, end time stuff. Jesus read letters speaking about all the stuff that's coming on the earth. Wars, rumors of wars, confusion, earthquakes. The list goes on. But the biggest issue he deals with, and he repeats it several times, is deception. Then he ends it with offense. People being offended. But then, verse 13. But he, or she, that shall endure until the end. Endure? Remain faithful. He that shall endure until the end shall be saved. We which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Now that's going to happen one of two ways in our lives. It can only happen one of two ways. Either you go by way of the grave or the blowing of the trumpet. That's the only two ways this happens. But God doesn't give exemption saying, okay, well, as long as you remain up until, you're good. As long as you put enough time in, you're good. No, he says remain until the end. So unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, you're not going before those who have died before us. This is going to be such the coolest event when this takes place. And I believe right now we're going to be part of it. We're that close. I believe right now the disciples in heaven are looking down going, oh man, we would love to be there right now. We would love to be part of this right now. I bet you my father-in-law, he wouldn't come back for anything, but if he could come back for the rapture, I think he would. Because some of you remember, he used to, you know, get up here, we're going to have rapture practice. You know, being that nutty Christian zealot out in the front yard practicing jumping up and down, because one day he's going to jump and not come back down. I think that was kind of a move in the body of Christ. Everybody got excited. But it's amazing. You know what's not being preached anymore? The rapture. The coming of Jesus. Why? Somebody got distracted. Somebody's not paying attention. Why do you think Jesus gave so many warnings that I'm going to come just like a thief in the night? If you were prepared when he was come, the thief wouldn't show up. But when I come, it's going to be like a thief in the night. And he's talking about his own people. They won't be prepared. They won't be ready. They won't be expecting. They won't be waiting. They won't be looking up. But we're not going to prevent them which are asleep. So those who have died before us, said the Lord himself, verse 16, shall descend from heaven with a shout of the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Cemeteries are going to be emptied out all across this planet. So those who worship at the tombstone, they're going to be disappointed. Because one day they're going to show up and that grave is going to be empty. Our loved ones who aren't there, because they're not there right now. Their bodies are, but they're not. The dead in Christ shall be risen first. Verse 17, and then we, which are alive and remain. You've heard me say this before, and please get this. God does not repeat himself because he's stuttering. If he's repeating himself, it's for emphasis. He's saying, you better pay attention to this point. Then we, which are alive, say alive,
alive.
And remain, say remain,
amen.
Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Encourage one another. Strengthen one another. Well, how do we do that? When do we do that? Right now. Moments like this. When we see all this weird stuff going on the planet, when we see the wars, we see the Middle East tearing itself apart, setting up the stage for World War III. Which we can see the picture of that in our scriptures. That when that happens, if you know the scriptures and the way we read it and interpret it, the church will be gone before those events fully come to fruition. Most of us believe that when World War III is initiated, the church is already gone. But how close are we right now? So if we're that close right now, how do we comfort one another? How do we strengthen one another? How do we bring peace? Verses like this that remind us, wait a minute, Jesus is coming back for us. He's coming back sooner than we think for us. But what he's looking for is those that are alive and remain. Active Christianity. Still serving God. Still loving God. Still coming to his house, still honoring him in his house, still sticking with the Bible, and not every modern preacher that you find on the internet who's twisting the Bible, just sticking with the book.
Amen.
Amen. Living this. But of course, you know, when Jesus gave the instruction back in Acts, he said, listen, you got to go and wait for the promise. You can't do this without me. I have to leave, but I'm sending another. I'm sending a helper. I'm sending the Holy Spirit to anoint you, not just on Sunday morning, but to anoint you each and every day to get up, to go out, to live this word, to preach this word, to do what God has told us to do. Bring the gospel. We're supposed to be the light. You're not the light. John chapter 1 deals with that. It says that John wasn't the light, but he brought the light. You and I were supposed to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. When people see us, they're supposed to see him. When we speak, they're supposed to hear him. Now, I know some lady in here said, well, I don't have a man's voice. How are they going to know that? No, it's not how your voice sounds. But it's the words. And it's the anointing attached to those words. It's what you're saying. It's how you're carrying yourself. It's how you're living. It's how you're responding. It's how you're acting. It's how you're reacting. It's the stands you'll make. It's the places you'll go and the places you won't go. It's the things you'll do and the things you won't do. Not by the church's opinion, but by what God says. That when we bring all these things, that people are watching us. That you're going to bring hope to your families. You're going to bring hope to your workplace. They're going to be drawn to you. But you can't do it on your own. You need God's anointing to do this. So when Jesus said, go and wait and don't depart. Now the waiting's over for us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The waiting's over. You don't got to wait for the Holy Spirit. He's already come. But the departing has not changed. Now, yes, they left the upper room and they went out. But they kept coming back. They kept getting back to that place to get filled up again. They kept coming back. This is why Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When you come to church, Jesus builds you up by the anointing of God. So you can go out there, and when Satan brings his attack, he brings his assault, he brings whatever it is, he tries to minister fear, the gates of hell won't prevail. They'll get no traction. Because when those thoughts come, you can go right to the word, my God shall supply. My God is an overcomer. My God will strengthen me. And every verse that you put on your refrigerator, they're not just verses there, they become alive to you. You start walking according to those things. No, I can't lose. That's not arrogance. That's confidence in my God. Does that mean we don't go through issues and problems? Oh, come on. Does it mean that you can't be hurt? Give me a break. What rock that's new unto you? It's common to every man. Not just the temptations of sin, but how about all the worries and the fears and the anxieties and all that stuff?
Right.
Now, technically, if you read the Bible, it is kind of sin.
Yeah.
Not kind of, it is sin when you start to worry, because that means you start to question him. So when we put our trust and our faith in him, when we walk with him, he brings an anointing upon us. When we come to church, God builds us up, strengthens us, empowers us, endues us with power so we can go out there and champion another day. That we can go out there and live what this word says that we can live. That we can go out there and do what Jesus said. When I come back, this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for faithful men and women. So what's going on? Regardless of what this one over here is doing, this one over here is doing, regardless of this war, that famine, this issue, that issue. No, those who are just alive and remaining faithful to God. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus said, he commanded, go and don't depart. Now, obviously, you're here this morning, so it's not a Sunday morning. You better get to church. You're here. And this isn't looking around saying, oh, I know somebody's not here right now, so this was against them. No, this is for you. This is for me. It's not the time to say, well, you know, I need to go hide now. No, the best place to be is in God's house, because his anointing's here. His presence is here. He'll bring peace in here. He'll strengthen you. He'll help deal with your thinking. Amen? Isn't that his promise, that we renew our minds by the washing by the word of God? That every time we get into this and we preach this and we study this and we rehearse this, that God begins to deal. My question or challenge is, are you going to remain here? And I'm not talking high ground ministries. I'm talking to every believer in every church. I'm just dealing with you right now. Are we going to remain where God has planted us? Are we going to remain faithful to where God has called us? And bring others to that same place where we met this Jesus. That we met this anointing that only he can bring, that strengthens us, encourages us, builds us up, stands us up. Amen?
Amen.
Remain. Say it again. Alive?
Alive.
And remain.
And remain.
Now, the alive and remaining, and I want to end with this thought on this planet. Some of it should be very sobering to us. Iran, that should be very sobering to us right now. Absolutely. But everything that's even happening here, I don't believe that these men and women in Congress and Senate in the White House, I don't believe that they purpose to, like, let's get distraction, let's cause this issue, but they're just doing the best that they can. Some of them, you can have your own opinion on what, and I don't believe most of them are trying to cause major issues because it's created such a divide in our nation. You think Satan isn't having fun with that? You think he's not influencing that? I don't know all the reasons, politically speaking, why, militarily, why. I know some. Their own people, they're protesting their government. Their government is killing their people who are protesting. So what we did, being part of this, we disrupted their government so their own people could take their government back. Okay. Then explain to me why we have a bunch of wackadoodles in this nation protesting what we did. We're helping those people. And we have people here protesting it. Distraction. Division. Satan is stirring things. Just like he did when Jesus, Easter's coming, we'll be dealing with these verses. Jesus, his triumphant entry into the city. Everybody's rejoicing. Everybody's celebrating. Everybody's laying down palm branches and laying down their coats so the King of Kings can enter in without stepping on dirt, dust, and they're celebrating, they're honoring, they're worshiping because they knew he was the Messiah. How is it that you can go from that to just a week later? Those same people, stirred up by only a handful, that now demanded his blood and crucify him. Satan knows exactly what he's doing. He knows how to stir things up. He knows how to even get that on believers, to get them confused, irritated, frustrated, that we start looking at, we start judging people, we start getting mad at people, we start developing prejudices that we never had, and again, I'm not talking about color of skin. But that is part of it as well. Satan loves to stir that up. You know how you fight that off? Staying in the anointing of God. Because the anointing deals with you. The anointing helps you to fight that stuff off. The anointing helps you to put those things down, cast those things down, as the scriptures say. Anything that exalts itself above the knowledge of Jesus Christ helps you to cast those things down. No, I'm not. That's not my thought. I'm not going to entertain that thought. I'm not going to live in fear, even though this is a sobering moment. I'm not going to live in fear because I know that my God is still God. My God is all powerful. My God is almighty. And if my God could deliver in that day, he can deliver in this day. If he could protect his people in that day, he can protect us in this day. Amen? But it takes the anointing. So we need to protect the anointing in our lives. One of the keys to it is not just merely being alive, but remaining. So say it one more time. Alive,
alive.
And remain.
And remain.
Amen? Would you stand with me this morning? Lift your hands up to heaven right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you right now. There is so much more that I could say and so much more that I probably should say, but I feel like you said this service is over. Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' mighty name, if there is anybody who came in here with fear, may they not leave with that fear. These are very real issues of the day. We understand where this could go. We understand what this could initiate. But we also know that we can't stop some of these things from coming. They have to come. So, Lord, we're not going to live in fear. We're going to trust you. We're going to walk with you. So I pray in Jesus' name that we live in peace. We walk in peace. We have a greater level of discernment in these last days to trust you, to be led by you, that we're going to be able to walk and champion each and every day until that trumpet blows. We're going to be encouraged and strengthened by your anointing, by your presence. Each and every time we come to church, we're going to be built up. Your word's going to deal with us. It's going to strengthen us. It's going to help us. So, Father, I thank you. Life is found in these words. Life is found in this book. Strength comes when we come here. Sometimes it comes by adjustment. Sometimes it comes by rebuke. Sometimes it comes by just a great message. However you administer it, Lord, we're going to receive it. To walk taller and stronger in these last days. Use us, help us, strengthen us, encourage us, that we could lead and win others to you, because time is running out. Now, Lord, Now, this is the part I want that we need to deal with ourselves, all of us. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's judging anybody beside you. It's you and God dealing with you right now. I said this at the beginning. This is going to be a rededication service. Each and every one of us, and I think it's fair to say, just because of where we live and what's going on this planet, I think it's fair that we just should take our walk very seriously. It's not God's intent that any man should go to hell. He said it in the Word. It's His intent, His desire, that all would come to repentance. Now, I know most of you, and most of you walk with God, you serve God, you're born again, Jesus is your Lord, and that may not be what we're talking about right now. But we might be talking about just, all right, have you been distracted by all this other stuff? Have you been distracted by things and cares and issues? And maybe we need to know what's going on. Absolutely. But you can't live on the news. They give you about 30 seconds of news, and the next 4 hours is their opinions and what they think, and they're trying to play prophets. We do need to know what's going on because this is where we live. But maybe that's that distraction. And let me help some of you with this. Our church family, you know this, you've heard this before if you've been around here long enough. Years ago, my father-in-law, he's our pastor before he stepped into heaven. Oh, he was listening to Rush Limbaugh at the time, every day, and he was getting agitated. He was getting really irritated to the point where God had to deal with him and said, you better shut that off. It's affecting you. It's infecting you. Amen. So all the stuff that's going around us, Satan knows how to use it to get to you. It may not be the same thing that he can mess with Ramona that with Fatima, but he knows how to do both. And he'll use whatever he needs to. So this rededication moment right now is, Lord, do I have things in my life that are distracting me? Do I have things in my life that are pulling me away from you or are getting me off and I'm starting to get filled up with worry and anxiety again? Because that's an issue for some people. Lord, what am I paying attention to that's now starting to administer fear to me? When we all used to say amen with excitement, saying, listen, the day's coming. We know it's going to get worse on the planet, but we used to have joy knowing, hey, if when that shows up, we're going home soon. But now fear is placing that excitement and that joy. Now, we don't want to see anything bad happen to people. That's not where we're saying we're excited about that. We just know when Jesus said, when you begin to see these things, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. That's what we're talking about. So I don't know what it is. That's between you and God. But I'm going to ask everybody in here right now, if you just bow your heads and close your eyes. And the reason for this is so you're not looking around. You're not paying attention to your neighbor. It's just you and God. Sometimes you have to close your eyes even in the house of God so it can just be you and Him for a moment. Now I'm going to pray. And you talk to God. Because we do this anyways when we receive communion. We always want to come and receive in a worthy manner. But I felt this morning really strong about this distraction thing. That this distraction was actually ministering a lot of fear to some people. So you talk to God for right now. I'm going to pray over you. Father, we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Nobody's exempt from this in here, so this is for all of us. Lord, deal with us right now. Help us right now. If there's things in our lives that just have us consumed, and they're not your things, but they've got us so consumed that we're paying attention to all these things and fear is starting to creep in. Worry is starting to creep in. We're starting to get more concerned about tomorrow than we are about today. You said tomorrow will take care of itself. Tomorrow has its own worries. We got enough to deal with today. But fear and worry gets us focused so much in the future that we forget about what we're supposed to be doing today. Lord, deal with us. Show us. And today may be a day in your house. We may not come to the actual altar per se, but may it be a day that we lay those things at the altar in your house. That we give those things back to you. We cast those things before you, these distractions, so we can live in your peace. Again, it's a sober day, Lord. You gave us so many instructions and warnings about the day that we need to guard against, we need to protect against. So we're going to take this time very seriously. But we're also going to walk in this very serious time with great joy and great strength and great peace, because that's what your anointing brings. So, Lord, I thank you right now that in this house, you're dealing with us. You're helping us. You're ministering to us right now. Those things we need to just get adjusted. Lay them at your feet once again. Not to pick them up. So we can walk as you told us to walk. Live how you told us to live. And be who you called us to be. Lord, I thank you right now for helping each and every one of us. Show us those things that we've grabbed a hold of that we're trying to fix and we can't fix. We got to give them back to you. Because only you can fix those things. Those things that we're trying to change that we can't change. Lord, show us those things so we can give them. The scriptures would call them sin. Lord, help us to lay those at your feet, that the anointing come upon our lives to be able to beat these things, to conquer these things, that you can do what you said you came to this earth for, that you might destroy the works of Satan in our lives. Help us, Lord. Deal with us this morning. In Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus, for your anointing. It's free to everybody. It's free to every one of us. Your anointing lifts burdens, destroys yokes, and allows us to put on your yoke, to take on your burden, which you said is light, it's easy. It's much easier to live in joy than it is to live in fear. It's much easier to live in forgiveness than it is unforgiveness. It's much easier to live with compassion and love than it is with offense. Your burden is easy. Your yoke is light. Lord, we need it. Help us. Deal with us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, I still want everybody's head bowed, everybody's eye closed for just a few more moments. We're going to receive communion and then we're going to go. But before we pray a prayer of rededication as a church family, I want to invite, if you've never met Jesus, it's not about attending a church, it's not about coming to a church service. You've got to meet this Jesus. Jesus himself said, you must be born again. Romans chapter 10 tells us that you have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. But then tells us what we got to believe and what we got to confess. That Jesus Christ came to this earth to pay a price for mankind's sin. That's not just your neighbor's sin, that's your sin. Because there's not one of us on this planet that doesn't have something in our nature. But he came to pay for that price, pay the penalty that you and I should. He literally went to heaven so you and I don't have to. Plus days came, he paid the price, he died for you, but God also raised him from the dead, and he's your living Savior. Remember all those things, being your own Lord. And it's simple, Lord, I repent, I'm turning, I'm no longer going to be my own God. Could do this. Faith, believe that tree, but you definitely want to find out. Saves you. And done. Amen. And if everybody in here is born again in here, you paid for my sins. You paid for my sins. Past, present, and whatever future sin there may be. Help me to be better and better. So there's less sin in my life. But Lord, I'm so grateful that you died for me. But Lord, I'm even more grateful. I don't walk with a dead God. I walk with the risen Savior. And our days are getting better and better. Are getting brighter and brighter. Are getting stronger and stronger. Because as I commit my life to you, I know your life is committed to me. Lord, I thank you. You're going to use me to win the lost. You're going to use me to point people to you. You're going to use me to help empty hell, and fill heaven in whatever time we have left. We're going to walk this with joy. We're going to walk this with peace. And we're going to walk this in strength. Because we're not doing this alone. Because we get to do this with you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me, for loving me, for strengthening me, for encouraging me, and anointing me. In Jesus' name, shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Give him a good shout of praise in the house.
Thanks for joining us at Higher Ground Ministries. We pray today's message encouraged your heart and helped you grow in your walk with the Lord. Want to worship with us in person? Our services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Learn more at hgministries.org and be sure to share this message with someone who needs encouragement today. Until next time, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep climbing higher.